In our gospel, the disciples ask our Lord Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." This is something that all of us need to ask God for the grace for, because prayer is always first and foremost God's work in us. And our Lord beautifully responds by giving us the standard of all true Christian prayer, as he gives us the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that most of us pray rather frequently. But how often do we pause to reflect on the very meaning of the words we pray? We pray it at Mass. For those who pray the Liturgy of the Hours, we pray it in morning and evening prayer. And we pray it on our beads every day in the Holy Rosary. The great Spanish doctor, St. Teresa of Avila, spent many, many months in her daily prayer going line by line through each of the petitions in the Our Father. She spent over 30 days reflecting only on the word Father. That's how deep God can bring each of us into the life of prayer and in union with Him. It might be a good practice sometime this week to go on an evening walk, if we can beat the afternoon thunderstorms. To go on an afternoon walk, to put aside your phone, your earbuds, and to simply reflect slowly on the words of the Our Father. Trying to pray it with Christ, reflecting on what he meant when he gave us these words. Now, the version that all of us are familiar with, that we pray at Mass and we pray in our rosary, is from the Gospel of St. Matthew. Slightly different, a little more extended, but the basic substance of the prayer is the same as what we heard St. Luke give us today in the Gospel. And I'd like to highlight just three of those traditional seven petitions. And to encourage each of you, besides taking that afternoon walk and reflecting with the Lord on this prayer, to pull out your catechisms at home, maybe to dust them off. If you don't have one, go on Amazon and buy one. It's like 10 bucks. Best $10 you'll spend this week. And go to the fourth part of the catechism, the fourth pillar, and read and study what the Church teaches on the Our Father, because there's so much. We could spend weeks going line by line through this prayer. But I want to highlight simply three of the petitions for our reflection this morning. The first petition I want to reflect on with you is, "Hallowed be thy name." Jesus is teaching us to have reverence for God's name. Why? Because a name signifies a person. If I say Deacon Dick, we all know exactly who I'm speaking about, right? Because invoking his name makes us think of the person. All the more so with God, who is all holy. Jesus wants to begin by teaching us to always reverence the name of God. One of the great tragedies of our time is how often the name of God is blasphemed and taken in vain. Now, as a priest, I must admit I'm a little more sensitive to that, but I don't think I'm a prude, because truth be told, swearing doesn't bother me so much. But if you take the name of God, or Jesus, or the Blessed Virgin Mary in vain in my presence, I'm very quick to call the person out. And I've had some very fun encounters at Old Chicago, King Supers, Starbucks. You can imagine when somebody is standing in line and doesn't know that a priest is behind them, and they say, Jesus Christ. And I say, be praised. And they turn around and they're, oh, I'm so sorry, Father. I learned that from my good friend, Father Mason, as we would watch television shows together on our day off. People, you know, you'd watch these shows and you'll hear the holy name, and he would just add that. I thought, how beautiful. A little practice that we can do when we hear God's name taken in vain, to praise it. People would be greatly offended if we went around saying, oh my Allah, oh my Buddha. How dare you say that? But for some reason, it's okay to take the name of the true and living God in vain. And the scriptures tell us that these gods are not gods. They're demons. They're idols. But if we take the name of idols and demons in vain, nobody would even bother to blink an eye. So the Lord wants to invite all of us to put flesh onto our prayer and to begin to have a deep reverence for God's name. Now, I want all of you to take the Breaking Bread hymnal from your pew right now, the soft hymnal, and open it up to the back inside cover, to the prayers for adoration and benediction. You'll find there the divine praises. Do you see them? Those prayers that we as Catholics pray at benediction of the Blessed Sacrament were written by the popes to make reparation for God's name being taken in vain. I was recently at a family's home, and they added these divine praises to the end of their meal prayer as a family every evening. And I thought, how beautiful that they intentionally try to make reparation. So I encourage you, okay, you can pull out your phone for just a second and take a photo of that prayer, okay? To take it home with you and to pray it, because it's very powerful. And when you yourself or somebody else you overhear takes God's name in vain, in your heart, pray one of those petitions. Blessed be God. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man. It's a beautiful way of us hallowing the name of God in a culture that so often is irreverent towards him. The next petition, thy kingdom come. We pray this asking that Jesus' kingdom will come. And the first meaning of this petition is that we're longing for his second coming. We're longing for the return of the king at the end of time, where he will come and set all things right. We're also asking that God's kingdom would come into our very lives, that we would live lives of holiness, of chastity, of patience, humility, and obedience. All of the virtues that mark those who live in God's kingdom. The devil, when he was created, before the earth was created, refused to serve God. Lucifer rebelled very early on, and he said to God, non servium, I will not serve. And the great archangel Michael rose up and said, who is like God? And God cast Satan and his legion into hell for all eternity. Obedience is a mark of following in the kingdom of God, where disobedience and rebellion are the hallmarks of the kingdom of the devil. So we pray in this that our lives will model all of the virtues that Christ exemplifies for us. And of course, this is fulfilled most powerfully in the Blessed Sacrament, when on the altar himself, our King is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. when we're at Mass and the Eucharist is on the altar, there is the King of heaven. And where the King is all of his kingdom. You and I who make up his subjects. The last petition is probably a little more puzzling. Do not subject us to the final test. Or as we pray in the version that we pray at Mass, lead us not into temptation. Now, to be sure, God himself never leads us into temptation. But he does allow temptation for the sake of our spiritual growth. And so our Lord is teaching us to pray for the grace to overcome the temptation when it comes our way. But we should have courage, because the Word of God says that God is faithful and will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with temptation, he will provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The ultimate goal of temptation is to get us to sin. Because the ultimate goal of Satan is to get us to reject God and to lose the gift of faith. Why? Because Scripture tells us that without faith, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven. And so the devil is very interested in each one of us being eternally damned. He's very interested in bringing each of us into hell, because he does not want us to be with God. Why? Because he can't be with the Lord. In his envy, he rejected God, and he wants to drag each of our immortal souls with him into the flames of hell for all eternity, where there is great torment and eternal suffering. And so we must, Jesus teaches us, pray for the gift from God to be fortified so that we do not fall into sin. Now, temptation is not sin. An impure thought pops into your mind. You haven't consented to that lustful thought. You haven't sinned. Only when you choose it and you begin to entertain that impure thought does it become a sin. But it begins as a temptation. Feelings and emotions are not sins. You get angry at your spouse. That never happens, right? You get angry. Things get heated. The anger as a feeling initially is not a sin. It's what you choose to do with it. Do you choose to act on it and to start yelling and screaming and degrading? Or do you turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours? Because in every temptation, God is faithful and provides a means of escape if we simply call on him. Now, the devil is very real, but none of us have reason to be afraid of him so long as we remain rooted and grounded in Christ. But we need to use the spiritual weapons that God has given us through the church to be fortified in the moments of temptation. What are some of those spiritual weapons? Well, the one that I always say you should never leave home without, the rosary. The rosary is one of our greatest spiritual weapons. Remember how David went up against the mighty Goliath with just a slingshot in hand and 5 stones. He was a mere shepherd boy of 12 years old, and he brought down this mighty warrior with his humble slingshot. This rosary, brothers and sisters, is our slingshot, and these beads are the stones that we use as our spiritual weapon. Carry the rosary in your pocket. When you find yourself being tempted to being impatient with road rage on I-25, or getting angry at your children, put your hand in your pocket and grab the rosary and call on Mary to help you. She will come to your aid. But don't just leave your rosary in your pocket, pray it. Holy water and blessed salt. Make sure you always have holy water and blessed salt in your home. Go get a gallon of water from King Soopers and have a priest bless it with the exorcism prayers. Put it in your home when you enter and leave. Bless yourself before you go to bed. Fathers, take the holy water and bless your children on the forehead. When they go to school, fathers, take the holy water and bless your children as they leave for their spiritual protection that day. You, as the spiritual head of your family, are a priest over your family, and you must bless your children and use the authority that God has given you. How about the scapular? Another spiritual weapon, right? Some of you have been enrolled in the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, that brown piece of cloth that you wear around your neck. Another spiritual weapon against temptation. Mary promised that anyone who dies wearing her scapular and was devoted to her will not go to hell. That's a promise that I want to buy into. Of course, it's not a lucky charm. It's not just, well, if you wear it, that somehow some superstitious thing works and that you don't go to hell. But if you wear it and you're truly devoted to her, she will ensure that you remain close to her son, Jesus. Lastly, a sacramental that you can use even if you don't have anything else, calling on the name of Jesus and Mary. Just saying the name, Jesus, causes the demons to tremble in fear. Calling the name of Mary is a spiritual call, a protection from heaven. So just simply, if you can't say anything else, just say Jesus. Just say Mary, and they will come quickly to your aid. The Lord wants all of us to pray, teach us how to pray, Lord. And the greatest model we have is given to us in the Lord's Prayer and in the sacramentals of the church. Let's use them. Let's use the means that have been given to us from heaven to be protected and to remain close to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And just to throw it out there one more time, pray the rosary every day. If you don't pray the rosary, you're not on the team. Praise be Jesus Christ.